Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies, welcome to episode number 90. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Guys, what's going on?
Oh, my gosh.
What isn't going on,
right? Oh, just too much to name, right?
That's exactly what I was going
to
say.
Too much to say. You guys having a good week so far?
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
You can't can't even contain it, can you?
Our Mako boys, we're having quite the week, aren't we?
So much excitement.
So I'm going to start, and then we'll go around the table.
Yeah, right, yeah. Sob stories all around, right?
As the listeners, I'm glad they won't be able to tell, but I have had a horrible sore throat since Saturday. It still feels like I have a cactus in my throat, and I'm every time I swallow, it's like I have a brick. It's just
that sounds awful, honestly.
It is awful.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it doesn't come across on the microphone.
Right.
I've had some achiness, you know, but good thing I haven't had a fever and, you know, nothing else too serious. So, but I have been miserable with this sore throat.
Those were your holidays.
Yeah. Right. And I'm glad it didn't happen on, you know, Thanksgiving or
right.
Friday. It happened Saturday afternoon, so it didn't even ruin my Saturday. But then Sunday is when it started. But then Sunday it was like, ooh. So
it didn't ruin your Thanksgiving. That's good.
No, it kind of hit
you around Thanksgiving.
Saturday afternoon, and I was like, a little scratchy throat. And then it just got worse. And then since Sunday, it's been awful. But other than that, man, it just makes you down too. Like when you don't feel well, and it's just like it's run my energy down, which I deal with anyway. I'm low energy, but I can't complain too much because it could be a lot worse. Because when my son had the flu, whatever, 2 weeks ago, that was awful. He had everything going on, so just my throat and achiness here and there. But
yeah, I'm glad you're here. That's
the
creepies don't want to hear me again.
No, you guys did a great job.
They'd hold me up. And
I want to say that was a very, very good episode.
Oh, so yeah. I liked it.
I loved it.
I don't know.
It came through that you guys really liked the movie. I liked the movie. Yeah. I know some.
Not everybody did, but that's okay.
And I get it. Not everybody likes every movie, but I think that movie is so underrated. Mm-hmm. I really do.
We kind of wondered where you would land on that. I figured you'd like it, but yeah.
Yeah, I do. And I've only seen it literally one time.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen it until I started dating my wife. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, you haven't seen that? And I knew. I said, I've heard all about it. And I knew all the stories about, or, you know, like how they, you know, promoted it, made it sound like it was real. Because I did. And then, so when I saw it, I thought, I love this movie. It's a good movie.
It was so nice to have you. Solid. It was nice to have you in the beginning and the end. And then our discussion the end was really nice.
No, you guys did a great job.
So it was, it all worked out. But it's, you know, and I think Nate and I agree. You guys agree when I'm not here too, that it still works best.
And I missed Triforce. I like when you said, oh, hey, Todd, just text and said, you know,
well,
hi,
you did,
creepies,
yeah.
and sorry, or whatever. And then Nate goes, I just got a text and said, make sure you put your garage door down. That's right. Well, I just want to make sure you put it down.
That's funny.
That's how I do it, yeah. It was the dad, the middle dad, the dad in me. No, you guys did a great job, so thank you for, you know, continuing the train, the Mako train. I also want to say, or ask you, did you guys have a good Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yes.
Good family time and meal time and food time. Yeah.
I was good until I had the dessert.
Oh,
always gets you.
You slid over to the diabetic side.
No, I slid over to my stomach's going to explode side. Yeah, I was perfectly comfortable, perfectly fine, and then I had dessert. And I was like, my stomach's going to blow up.
There's always that. Yeah. You think you got it, and you're like, I got to have something more.
The icing on top.
So I laid on the couch and slept for a little bit.
Slept it off.
Nothing better than a good Thanksgiving nap. Huh?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Sean, you had a good Thanksgiving?
It was good. I didn't do a whole lot. We watched football. We rested. That's what Jenna's like. You don't really have to do anything. You know, we ate.
Like,
I went out. The weather wasn't very nice. We were at Jenna's parents' house, and it was kind of rainy and whatever. And Ellen
gray,
and I did take
cloudy,
three dogs there at the house. And so we took them out for a little walk. And we just didn't. We were planning to do a little bit more outside, but we just didn't. So it was a nice day to just chill.
Yeah.
So I have to say that was good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, we had a fine time. And yeah, I had, man, I ate a lot of food and there was a lot of good desserts, but I held off. I'm like, I was so full from just the normal food. I'm like, mm-hmm. man, I don't want to make myself sick.
See, I thought I was okay because I felt just fine.
Yeah, see, that's why you think it's...
Stop by your head, right?
That's right. And then later on that night, see, our tradition is to decorate our house for Christmas. Her brother-in-law or her brother said, how do you guys get the energy to do that? She's like, I have no idea, but we do. We have fun, you know. It's like our second bolt of energy. That's when I was still full, but I'm like, ooh, I haven't had my pumpkin pie yet. Yeah, that was a bad decision. I was like, whoa. Yeah, that was when it, yeah. And mm-hmm. later in the evening, it's like, doesn't, you know what I mean? Like,
doesn't sit well.
No. But it was good. It was good. Great, great holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Watch football, yeah, of course, football, yeah. So, hope the Creepies had a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been sick for, whatever, 6-7 days. Sean, what happened to you last night?
Why didn't we
record Tuesday?
Yeah, I'll tell you that. Just my boys have been sick too. And
oh yeah,
Harrison got over and some viral thing, blah blah blah. And then William's still sick. He actually had to go to the doctor again tonight, and so he's not been feeling good. So we've been having some sickness in our house. Everybody else has been staying pretty healthy, but yeah, last night. So I came. I was working late and heading here is where I was planning on to go home and get the computer. And I was talking to Harrison, and Harrison and I were just kind of being funny, you know, back and forth. And I was on a dark country road. And the next thing I know, the only way I can say it is I got hip checked by a deer. It was like deer was right there, the right side of me. And I said some words I probably shouldn't said. And Harrison's like, what's wrong, Dad? What's wrong? And I was like, I just got hit by a deer, which is, you normally say it the other way around. I hit a deer, but this deer hit me and just like bumped into the side, took my side mirror with it. So I keep joking today that it apparently needed that.
He wanted
that mirror more than I did. So
he looked for the buck with the mirror hanging off its
head. Yeah, right? And he did. And I was like, I really, I thought he was coming in front of me and I thought rolling over the car or whatever. I'm like, I'm done. And the way he just kind of ricocheted off, he left pretty good dents. You guys saw him.
Yes, he did.
No mirror and the dents and everything. So I hung up with Harrison very quickly and then it wasn't any time. I was trying to find, it was very dark. So I'm like, the car was still drivable. So I kept going and I don't know whether the deer was okay or not, but he in my mirror somewhere. And Jenna called and she's freaking out asking what's going on.
Sure. Or,
you know, what's happening. And she's like, why are you still driving? And I'm like, I need to find a place that's light. And she's like, and I told her the car is still driving. Just give me a second. So I finally ended up finding a, it happened to Danville and I made it all the way to Plainfield to find a neighborhood that was light enough that I could take some pictures.
Yep.
She's like, you need to call 911. And all I could think was I need to go podcast, you know, like I was sorry. Priorities.
Got more important things.
It was making me angry because I was like, I'm supposed to be there. So I texted you guys. I hit a deer. And then, so I called the police. They told me I need a police report probably. And then call my insurance and blah, 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 all this stuff. So I called the police. They were, you know, they said their hours are like 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. So they said, well, 911 told me just call the next morning and get a police report. So I had to call insurance and give them all the details. And they told me since nobody was hurt in the accident that there's no police report. So that was good news. So it's just one thing after the other. And it was kind of one of those things where I'm like, I'm done.
It's just
so
I know
those it could have been worse. Like, though.
Seriously,
that's,
I just want to go home. I'm just I'm that's all to just I podcast.
I am. You know, I'm this time in life. We're all of us are pretty tired. You know, that's kind of the norm. But it was last night. I was like, I just want to sleep for a couple days. That's all I'm asking is just a couple days of straight sleep. And I think I would be right as rain.
I know. Well, I'm glad you're okay. And I'm glad.
I am too. And it could have been, I'm so happy that it's,
oh, yeah,
it'll be taken care of.
Not fun.
It'll be the collision center. It's like a month before they can actually even look at it. So they're backed up. So it's, gotcha. I'm like, it is what it is.
Yeah, probably a lot of deer. You know,
they said 911 told me that they're injuries. Getting a lot of these calls.
It's time of year, man.
I've had some close calls, but I've never hit one before since I've been driving for a long time. Now,
11 years ago, man, I plowed that buck square on the middle and went over my car.
Oh,
and I called the sheriff, and then I called my insurance, and the sheriff came out, and he's like, "You hit him good." And he goes, but he was suffering. He said, "I had to put him down."
Uh-huh.
Like, oh. I mean, yeah, I literally my engine, I couldn't drive it, so my father-in-law, my brother-in-law came. To help, and they took me to work, but I felt worse about the deer than my car.
Yeah,
like, oh,
but you do. I mean, you don't want to
hurt
them.
You know, no.
But it did, yeah. And I felt bad about that too. But it was just, it just,
I had the right of way. I don't know why he didn't just wait. Yeah, he comes cross. Oh well, but yeah, that was unexpected.
No, they never use crosswalks.
They do have animal bridges in some states and some countries that they make those land bridges that are, I mean, I know that's expensive, but like over interstates.
Yeah.
And those are nice, but like, I don't think all animals realize that they're supposed to use those, but.
I always wonder, like the deer that do survive, like the one maybe probably did last night.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's like, oh gosh.
Yeah, there was no blood, no fur.
He goes home, he's like, you know.
Goes up to the tree and puts another mark on it.
Yeah,
right.
Or another notch.
Hip check. Ethel, I got hit by. Yeah, I got hip checked.
But
by blue
but
car.
I kept his mirror.
Yeah, you know, I'll show that jerk.
You want me to take the kids out? I can barely walk right now.
Yeah. I still jokingly.
Where's the recliner?
I was talking to the collision center and I said I still think that the point goes on my side because the car is still drivable. So it's human being one, deer zero, but maybe it's 1-1. It's probably a tie.
We need to find him and make a tiebreaker.
I know exactly right.
Well, that's
oh dear,
right? That was oh dear. anything, Nate? Any other than you? Little weather.
Oh yeah. Went up to Detroit to work on Sunday, and it rained the entire day. So we don't necessarily work in the rain. It's not mandatory. But, you know, three of us drove all the way up there from down here, so 5-hour trip. And so we're like, well, we drove all this way. We're getting double time. Let's tough it out. So we did. We were soaked.
Yeah,
you said your boots are still out
there. Oh, yeah.
Soaked in the garage.
They're supposed to be rainproof.
Yeah, they're supposed to be waterproof. You always find out they're not waterproof anymore when you're soaking wet. So, yeah, it's they're still out there drying 3 days later.
Wow, that is
that's bad.
Mm-hmm. That's wet.
Yeah.
That's wet.
But it was worth it.
Yeah, that's what.
You nice know. Paycheck.
Yeah, when it's all said and done, you're like, oh, yeah. He's got money.
You survive. Extra money.
Yeah,
thing,
you get
right?
the paycheck, and you're just
yeah,
like,
you survive.
Right on. That wasn't too bad.
But it's not fun during the rainstorm, is
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
I hear you.
So, but, you know, we're sitting there hooking on iron, and I was like, man, this Florida weather is great.
Yeah, right.
So my hook-on partner, he's like, yeah, man, this piña colada is delicious.
Piña colada. Oh, boy.
As we're freezing and soaking wet.
That's hilarious. Well, I'm glad you didn't get sick either.
Yeah, I'm surprised about that too. Yeah. I thought while we were sitting there working, soaking wet, soaked to the bone.
Yeah, right.
It was like I'm probably gonna have a cold come tomorrow.
Oh yeah,
but well, never happened.
Yep,
good.
The welding god smiled on you. That's
oh
good.
Yeah,
I've sat watching football games when it's been 30 degrees, 20 degrees. Nothing happened, but man, I've sat in some rainstorm games. And that's when I got sick. I mean, that's when I'm like, you can dress warm, but
it's miserable,
man,
yeah.
you can't. When it's raining, nothing you can do to really. Yeah, like you said, the raincoats
can't get
only last
you.
So long, and then they let you down after a while.
Yeah, they start seeping.
Wet. Oh yeah, you get wet.
So yeah, by the time I got back to the house, my aunt and uncles, I just stayed with them because they're half hour from the job.
Nice.
Up there. So yeah, I got
probably good to see them.
Got down to. Out of the rain gear, and yeah, my legs were soaked, my arms were soaked, everything was wet.
Your wet was wet, you know.
And wet on wet.
Yeah, and then I decided to take a hot shower.
Yeah, I was going
to
say,
wet.
Get wetter.
Although that'd be a little bit more pleasant, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, good. Yeah, we are glad to be back, so.
We are. In between the holidays.
We have made it, right? We are. Yeah, it gives you a little, a creepy little background of what it takes to get back to the microphone.
Strong like bulls.
Yeah.
That's what we are. Bulls on the
night. Yeah, and I hope the creepies, like I said, hope they had a good Thanksgiving, and hope they're having a good week so far. So, coming off of that.
Yes.
Sean, I'm going to let you say some announcements.
I have the first part of the announcements. We always want to implore and make sure that we highlight that this is a community. We are having fun. We get together, have guy nights when we eventually can, right? After I've had the behoozits scared out of me by deer on the road, right? That we come together, that we get to talk about creepy stuff, but we want to make sure that we always bring it back to the mental health aspect, that we are building a community to make sure that you guys, we get help, our families get help, friends, and you listeners, and all of your family friends. So we want to make sure we give out information to how to get help. You can call or text hashtag 988 for all and all, or any and all types of crises. And don't be scared to get help by going to counseling. Make sure that you find somebody you feel comfortable with, and it can take a few times to find the right fit or the right counselor. You can also visit stopbullying.gov for another way to find help with bullying.
Excellent job.
You like that?
Look at that. Gave him an excellent.
Outstanding.
Ooh, nice.
You got an excellent. Not just job. Not just job done.
No, I'm going to give you an excellent.
Thank you.
Gold star.
Ta-da.
I'm just being extra nice to
you. Are. You're just happy to be here.
I am. Thank you, Sean, for that.
You're most welcome.
You know what time it is.
What time is it?
Time to go home.
Bad joke time. Yeah. Oh, no.
And the crowd goes wild.
John, you're... No.
It
is...
We're tied to these
chairs. Bad joke of the show.
Nice. I'm ready.
I really like this.
Mentally prepared.
I've had this saved for a week.
Lay it on me.
Yeah. Why aren't koalas actually bears? They don't meet the qualifications.
Oh, groan.
Qualifications.
Clever.
Qualever. Qualever. Yeah.
Qualever.
There you go. Dad joke of the show. I like that one. I had that.
That was a good one.
I had that saved for weeks. You like that one?
That's a good
qualifications?
One.
Qualifications? Yeah.
The Aussies will accept like it. That.
Yeah. Wait till next week. Oh, I got another
You got one. Another one? Oh, boy.
Animal related, too. I want to give it here. I actually want to give it a double. You know, I'm so
are
excited
you gonna
to be back.
Are you going to record?
Yeah. You know what?
I feel an like animal theme.
A double dad joke. Here,
I've got to say it. I'm going to use the joke again. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
So they get a bonus. That's how good a mood I am.
This better be good.
pick it up and lay it on me again.
Why? Why does a duck have tail feathers? To cover its butt quack.
Butt quack on the...
butt quack.
You got a chuckle out of that one.
That's pretty good, actually.
I like that one.
There you go. There you go. Double
so
double
good it's bad, so bad it's good.
Double dose like or whatever. Something.
That one quacked me up.
Did it quack you up? I knew it had something to do with quack.
And remember, kids, say no to quack. Mike Tyson with a... No, never mind. Sorry, Mike. Sorry, I didn't... There you go.
No sorry is necessary.
Yeah. So after that, I do have a special announcement. So I don't know if you guys saw Nate and Sean. Did you see Jerry Pauly's post?
I didn't see Nate and Sean.
You did? Well, you saw. Wait, did you look in the mirror? I mean, you saw yourself.
Well, I guess I did.
Nate, yeah.
No, seesaw?
Yikes.
So Jerry Pauly posted on his, I think it was his regular Facebook group.
Yeah.
Or his Facebook
personal,
profile.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever it's called. Account, and there is a horse farm in Tennessee that, did you see that?
I did
about,
see that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I saw your post on it too.
Yeah. So I mean, I just shared it or whatever.
Yeah, shared it.
Yep. And I was so impressed. So I listened to, he was advertising the episode and I just listened to it. I think, it would have been Monday night mm-hmm. and it was so good. He had one of the owners, is Scott Rupp. Scott Rupp is, he and his wife and kids run a horse farm in Tennessee. They operate a horse rescue and it's called Home Safe Horses. It's a Christian organization, but they do, like kids can come and people and they'll, you know, show the horses mm-hmm. and you can learn about it. And it's, you know, it's kind of an introduction to, you know, hopefully a little bit of Jesus put in there, which mm-hmm. is always a good thing. And they take donations. They kind of fund it themselves.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys listened to the episode, but it's a lot of self-funding and they do ask for, you know, donations from, and they're trying to ramp that up. And I guess, today's Wednesday. So last night or yesterday, have you ever heard of, I guess it's an international that all these different charities, it's like basically International Charity Day for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of charities push for donations, you know, and so they were hoping to maybe capitalize on that where get the word out. So anyway, it's called, Home Safe Horses. And I want to read a couple of things for the information so people can, you know, hop on their website, which is homesafehorses.com. Homesafehorses.com is their website. And it says here you can buy a board to help build a stall. So they're trying to build six stalls especially getting towards the wintertime, because they have a picture that says, this isn't going to cut it. And there's a picture off the website that shows a horse with a little hat and a scarf.
Oh.
And they're like, they need more than that. They need, you know. And so anyway, you can donate $10.72 helps build or helps pay for a board. If you want to help pay for a wall, it says a wall for the stall is $118.58. A stall, if you want to pay for the entire stall, and it's, and they do all the building themselves. So this is labor, material, and everything. $512.48. And if you want, now this says four, but I thought he said six. It's like $2,050, or like I said, I think it's like, I think they want six, so it'd be like $3,000. So yeah, so go to their website and you can help donate money. And, and he said, if you just help buy a board, that helps.
That's
helps.
Yeah,
they're, every they're so helps. Grateful. Yeah, and then like I said, then they you know, buy the material and then they do it themselves. They do everything on their own. Like I think they've got two or three kids. And it's a really cool charity, I think. And I like to go down.
That's awesome.
I think it's a really cool cause.
Yeah. And they're just like, this guy did such a good job on Jerry's podcast on the episode, and just genuine nice people. And I reached out to him and said, hey, I listened to your episode, saw the post, you know, and all that. And he responded, you know, fairly quickly. And he was so appreciative of just the kind words. I said, you did a great job, you know, and what a great cause.
I have not listened to that yet.
Yeah. And he said, oh, so I hope I did a good job. I said, oh, you did a great job. And I said, you know, my wife and I said, we gave a little bit to help out. And I said, you know, and he was like, so appreciative, you know? So any money, you know, if anybody wants to help out, help them out.
That's a great shout.
And like I said, and they do, and they don't charge anybody to come and see the place, which they could, you know,
sure,
$5-$10, but they don't. And it's like, oh, you know, but yeah, there's, and like Jerry said, he goes, I've had friends that, you know, have had horses for pets, you know, they're not like show horses or they're not race horses. He goes, it's expensive because of all the food and all the care and all the, you know, and you got the vet bills and.
Oh yeah. Big animal.
But yeah, they've rescued, I think he said they've got like 10 or 11 and they're going to get more, but they rescued these horses that are pretty much, take, you know, like one of them, he said, is going to be taken to Mississippi and put down and making the, you know, horse meat, you know, and he's like, and one of the horses is blind, but living a good life now. And, you know, it's really cool what they do. So, so I said, I'll give you a shout out on this week's episode. And so, yeah, Home Safe Horses. Yeah. Scott Rupp. I can't remember his wife's name. Sorry, Mrs. Rupp.
Mrs. Rupp, right?
Mrs. Rupp, yeah. Probably his better half, I would imagine. We all have better half. So right, there you go. So I just wanted to mention that. I think it's such a wonderful thing. So,
oh, shout out to them. That is, it really is. It's a great cause.
Yeah, and that's a. Let me put it this way. I don't see myself ever running a horse farm because it would be too much work for me. I would love to like love on them and see them and all that, but man.
Spend some time, right?
But all the upkeep and the care for them, whew, two dogs is enough for me.
Going to be a professional horsehair braider.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right up my alley. Horse hair braider.
How equestrian of you, right?
Whoa, yes, yes, yeah. So anyway, there you go, creepies. Go check them out, homesafehorses.com. There you go.
I like it.
I'm all done. I'm all done with my stuff now.
Okay, oh, so now, we get to go home?
We wrapping it up?
Nate, no.
Oh.
Well, no. First of all, you are home.
Right, yeah.
That's right.
Well, you're like, can I go upstairs?
See ya. I'm going to bed.
All right. Sean, you know how to run these dials, right?
I do not. Not well.
So, no, Nate, you cannot. And we are ready to hear what we're going to talk about. Sean, what do you got?
Before I forget, this is your pick. So this is
Todd's
pick. Missouri State Penitentiary is what we're going to cover.
Where's that at?
Missouri.
Oklahoma.
Missouri. Oh, okay. What did
it's
I do? I
Missouri, picked, Nebraska.
I picked on Pennsylvania last time, so I'm going to Missouri. I'll pick on
Missouri.
Missouri.
My old boss moved from Indiana to Missouri, and he said, yeah, we're moving to Missouri.
Missouri.
He said,
that wasn't going to be that mean.
No, yeah. he said just because of the heat. He goes, man,
that's a torturous movie.
Yeah, we just watched it not too long ago. Yes, the good state of Missouri. So the show me state.
It is the show me state.
The show me state.
Ozark.
Sounds very risque.
Ooh, that's a good series, by the way. Ozark.
You ever watched that? Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Jason Bateman. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the place that I think it's in Missouri. That's kind of like it's not. They have music and a lot of shopping and stuff. It's kind of like a Gatlinburg. What is that? I know Missouri fans or fans, listeners are going, what?
Kansas City?
No,
what is that? Kansas City?
You know what I'm talking
St.
about.
St. Louis?
Reba McEntire plays there a lot.
Is that Bronson?
Oh,
Branson.
Branson.
Branson, Missouri.
Yeah.
Good Lord. I
like to check that place out.
Sometimes. I had a complete mental Branson. Breakdown. Yes, Branson.
Well, yeah.
Is it haunted?
Probably. It might be. We'll have to look into
it. it's a haunt for a lot of people.
Yeah, but anyway, so, yeah, we all check
Branson,
out.
Branson, yes. I was thinking,
good job, though. I couldn't think of anything. I was not even.
I was thinking Bronson. I don't know.
Charles Branson? Bronson?
Branson, Bronson.
Yeah. All right. So we got the Missouri State Penitentiary.
Yes. Cool. Would you like to give me would you like to give
what was that?
Would you like for me to give you a foundation? Man, I
give Nate and
stumble,
I and
fumbled,
the creepies a foundation. Please.
Stumble
yes.
fumbled over that. The Missouri State Penitentiary was a prison in Jefferson City, Missouri, that operated from 1836. That's a long time ago.
It is.
To 2004. Not that long ago. Part of Missouri Department of Corrections, it served as the state of Missouri's primary maximum security institution. Before it closed, it was the oldest operating penal facility west of the Mississippi River. It was replaced by the Jefferson City Correctional Center, which opened on September 15th, 2004.
No.
Out with the old, in with the new, right?
Yeah, right. This place has a lot of ugly history.
Yes.
A lot of bloody.
Well, there was a lot of time to get ugly history, right?
What was it darn called? Right. The bloodiest 47 acres in America.
Yes. Yes.
I did not know that.
And
I thought that was cool.
I did. Mm-hmm. I did too. And it says that it housed hundreds of thousands of convicted felons during its 168-year history. And many believe that some of these inmate spirits still remain locked behind the old bars. That's what we like to hear.
Isn't that crazy? Well, they said the reason it was the bloodiest 47 acres is because there's not one inch of this place that they say didn't have, like, it wasn't bloody, you know, or some kind mm-hmm. of
oh, yeah.
blood spilled, like every corner of this place. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Well, it was one of the longest running maximum security prisons. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing, I've never been in any jail or prison, and I'm guessing the minimum would not be fun. I would not want to spend an hour in there, but when you got the maximum security, you know, you got the, like the worst of the worst, and mm-hmm. that's already like, yeah, you got some serious dudes there.
I thought this was interesting. James Dunica, a master stonemason who built the first Capitol building in Jefferson City in 1826, was appointed to oversee the construction of this new prison, and $25,000 was allotted by the legislation for expenses. The facility opened for business in March 1836, the same month that the Alamo in Texas fell.
Oh.
That's cool.
I did not know that. See, that's what I liked about this, because when I looked in this, I don't know, a couple months ago, I'm like, there is a lot to it. Not just the you get everything. You get a lot of history, right. A lot of crazy history, and you get the creepiness. So, it's a wild place.
Prisoners were employed during the 1830s in making bricks. The initial prison population consisted of one guard, one warden, 15 prisoners, and a foreman for the brick-making operation with an assistant. 11 of the 15 prisoners were from St. Louis, and all were incarcerated for larceny except for one, who was imprisoned for stabbing a man during a drunken brawl. So it's
nice.
It started very, very mild.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, nothing big. Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah, it says that they pretty much, like you said, they used a lot of inmates to build, like, additional buildings. It said, by 1868, the prison continued to expand and build its oldest remaining building, housing Unit 4, also known as a hall, as a means to house post-Civil War criminals. Says, in quotes, Tom Wells says, they just pretty much worked a lot of the inmates like slaves. It was pretty brutal. Who began working as one of the prison guards in 1989. Says, Wells now leads some of the prison's ghost tours, and although he considers himself more of a tour guide, his own paranormal experience as a guard has made him a firm believer of what remains inside the prison's now vacant cells.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, good. By the way, put this on the list, Sean.
Of course, yeah, okay. That's a guarantee.
Missouri's not that far away. We can make this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said that on a sunny day around 3, Wells was talking to an inmate named John, when he noticed another inmate with long blonde hair and white t-shirt walk out a door during count. They know they're not supposed to be outside, and I thought to myself, USOB, I'm going to jump down this guy's throat. And I go out there, and there's nobody there. I thought, man, he's running around the building. So I went up the right side of the building. Nobody was there. And the big gate is there, and it's all locked. And I was like, I know I've seen this guy. So I ran to the left side, and there's a tower right there. I said, hey, has anybody ran by here? And he said, no, it's count time. It's lockdown. So I'm like, okay. And there's a van sitting there, and we used to take supplies up the hill. And I thought, my God, he's in the van. We got an escape attempt. it's on a hill, so I'm looking underneath as I walk up to look in the back windows, and the seats are all taken out, and I look in there, and there's nothing there. So I open it up, and in the meantime, John, the inmate, has stepped out front and was watching me. I shut the door, and I'm like, what? He goes, you ain't going to find that guy. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I saw him. I said, what did he look like? And he said, he had long blonde hair and a white t-shirt. And I'm like, yeah. He said, well, Wells, we ain't got nobody in this building that looks like that. And I was just like, whoa, you're right.
I love this.
It felt like somebody had just punched me in the chest. So, yeah, he was chasing a ghost.
I love that story. Yeah. That's a great story.
That's a good story.
And
now he does ghost tours there.
Yeah. That's the Wells guy.
Yeah. That was his. He's not a ghost hunter or nothing like that, but he lucked into being a tour guide. And he's like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I was a guard here. Now I'm a paranormal tour guide.
He's like, I'm going to get this guy.
Yeah. I'm going to get him. Where'd he go?
I think it's interesting that so much darkness happened there, and so many, there's a lot of notable inmates, and they say that I was watching a lot of the investigators and a lot of people doing like seances or, you know, EVPs and all these things. And they caught so much dark stuff and, you know, what were you in for? And they get all kind of answers. And a lot of the guys would say, and it's Aaron has talked about this and some of our other paranormal investigator friends, you just, in some of these places, especially prisons, you just feel that darkness and you feel that overwhelming sadness or depression or fear or anger, you know, grip you. And so many of them are like, man, I got to get out of here. Right. This particular room feels awful. The solitary confinement, they said people won't be there by themselves. It's just so dark and so scary and spooky and gives off such a horrible energy. One of the guys was supposedly kept in solitary confinement, one of the inmates, for 17 years straight. And they said, of course, he had lost his complete mind because you're in total darkness, basically, or this, you know, this complete isolation. And can you imagine 17 years? I can't even imagine like 17 days.
That'd be terrible. Yeah.
17 minutes would be horrible, but 17 years. And it was just like, they had some of the worst conditions in the country. This was one of the most brutal prisons, and they were mistreated, and they would punish them, whip them with, just the idea, if you think of Jesus being flogged, they did flogging, they did waterboarding, they did all kind of torturous things to them. Just the worst of the worst things that you would think this never happened in America. It did.
Yeah. Yeah.
There were gas chambers
sure,
there
yeah,
too.
Right. Yeah. Prisons, man, they're no joke. And it's a prison for people that have committed crimes, or supposedly, I mean, you know, and there's nothing positive. I mean, there's so you have that, and then you got the death, and then if they were mistreated and they got the tortured, that's a making for a bad place. That's for sure.
And they, sadness. They try to call them correctional facilities, but it's like,
man,
how much
no
correcting
they were not correcting on this
really
one.
Doing there.
Right.
The first female ever was put to death here too. They said there had never been a female on death row, but she was put to death. It was a couple that had basically taken a politician's son and held him for ransom and wanted $400,000. I believe it was in the 50s. I'd have to find the story.
A lot
now.
Of money.
And so he paid it. He paid it to him. But they had already killed his son within 24 hours. They even asked him for the ransom.
they had already killed the son. So they said it was just evil incarnate for them to do this.
Wow.
They said it was the highest ransom that had ever been paid apparently at that time. And it was just, it's such a horrible story, but those two went to, they were not treated well, and they went to their deaths. You know, I like I said, I can't judge, but that is evil. They said it was thinking, one of the most heinous crimes ever.
Those two might be two of the best.
That's awful.
People to send.
They said some of the most notable inmates at Robert Berdalia is a serial killer, torturer, and rapist sentenced to life imprisonment without the right to parole in 88. Deceased by 92. This is one we all have heard of. Charles Arthur, which is Pretty Boy Floyd, was incarcerated on December 18th, 1925. A gangsta for robbery. He died after being shot by police in 34. Mm-hmm. Emma Goldman was an anarchist. She kept coming up with a lot of these stories. An anarchist incarcerated in 1917 to 1919 for conspiracy to induce persons not to register for the draft. Died from a stroke in 1940. Carl Austin Hall and Bonnie Hetty are the duo, this is one I was talking about, who abducted and brutally murdered a boy named Bobby Greenlease. Like I said, his dad was either a senator or governor or something like that, a well-known politician. A week later, they were arrested, tried, and sentenced to death. They were both incarcerated here until after their execution by gas chamber in 53. Charles Ray Hatcher was a serial killer who murdered 16 victims within a 12-year span, committed suicide in the penitentiary by hanging himself in 84. Charles Sonny Liston, a boxer incarcerated in 1950 for a number of charges, including armed robbery. He learned to box in the prison and was paroled in 1953. He became world heavyweight champion 62, only losing 2 years later to Cassius Clay. Muhammad Ali died under strange circumstances in 1970. Richard O'Hare was incarcerated on April 19th to serve a 5-year sentence for an anti-war speech she gave in Bowman, North Dakota. Some months earlier, Kate O'Hare prison sentence was commuted by President Woodrow Wilson in May 1920. Later, she was given a full pardon by President Calvin Coolidge, and she died in 48. There's only a couple more here, sorry. Robert Earl O'Neill was a white supremacist who murdered black inmate Arthur Dade while incarcerated at the penitentiary, executed in 95 at the Potosi Correctional Center. Now, this is one of the most well-known ones. James Earl Ray, the assassin who killed Martin Luther King Jr. Ray was admitted to the penitentiary on March 17th, 1960. On April 23rd, 1967, prisoner, his prisoner number was 00416J, escaped from the Missouri State Penitentiary in a bread box that was supposed to contain loaves of bread that were being transported from MSP to the Rents prison. Somewhere during that trip, Ray escaped. Ray was later convicted for the assassination in 1968. So after escaping, he assassinated MLK. He died of hepatitis C in 1998. He also, I assume it was shortly thereafter, you know, after killing MLK, that's when he ended up going to Brushy, and then he escaped from Brushy, and we know that story from before. So
yeah.
There was another gentleman, Lee Shelton, better known as Stagger Lee, simply Stagger Lee, American criminal who became a folk icon after he killed Billy Lyons on Christmas in 1895. So those are some of the most well-known people that resided there.
Interesting.
And still may.
The penitentiary received its first inmate back in 1836 because he stole a watch.
Oh, just need to know the time. Maybe pay for it.
You're gonna pay the time.
That's right. Yeah. Don't do the time if you can't. Hold on.
Don't do the crime if you can't do the time.
That's right. Don't steal the time if you can't do the time. That's interesting. Stole a watch, huh? Says here, during the tours, which can last from 2 to 8 hours, beginning at sunset, visitors are welcome to bring their own ghost activity devices or use some of the equipment provided by the prison. I think that's cool.
That is very cool.
Yep. Visitors are then given insight into the prison's paranormal and unusual activities as they are guided through the upper yard into housing unit 1, dungeon cells, where prisoners were kept in complete darkness, and through the basement of death row chambers in housing unit 3 until ending the tour inside the prison's gas chamber. Investigation time at each destination varies depending on how many hours are reserved for your tour. I would love to go to this place.
Yes.
I think it would have a lot of things to see.
A lot of activity. Oh, yeah.
It'd be really cool.
Yeah. Even if we didn't experience anything paranormal, just the fact of how bloody it was, how awful it was, how they were treated, that's enough to kind of still creep you out.
There were so many shadow figures. There were EVPs galore of all kind of horrible things being said. You could hear screams. You could hear fighting. You could hear there. It's funny because there were one of the most well-known riots that happened was in 54. It said one evening on September 22nd, 1954, there was a major riot at the state penitentiary. It started when two inmates faked illness to attract two guards. One of the guards arrived. Inmates ambushed them. Apparently, one of them was the boxer that actually they didn't realize he was a prize fighter, and he knocked out two of the guards. They say that that was the key for him getting out and starting to help everybody else be released, releasing other inmates in the process. So they just went from place to place. I believe they were in solitary where this happened. During the incident, the Missouri State Highway Patrol, the Missouri National Guard, the police departments from Jefferson County, St. Louis, and Kansas City were called in to help quell the riot. I mean, it was like chaos. Mm-hmm. When it was all over, four inmates had been killed, 29 had been injured, and one attempted suicide. Four guards were seriously injured. Several buildings were burned with damages estimated at $5 million. No inmates were able to escape during the incident. Burned buildings and other damage from the riots could remain visible or would remain visible for the next 10 years. It's interesting because they said that the prisoners were so, the reason that they rioted and they decided to do that this evening or that particular evening was because conditions had been so awful and they had been complaining for so long and nothing had been done that they basically wanted to take it out against all the guards and all the system. And they said that prisoners that refused to come out of their cells were treated just as badly as they were treating the guards. They would beat them. They basically became part of the enemy. They said, if you weren't part of this riot to basically protest, then you were part of the problem.
You were the enemy.
So it was just interesting how this became a very much us against them feeling. And some of the prisoners didn't want to take part in it. They were made to, basically.
Sure. Yeah, I've heard a lot of stories like that, you know, where they can only take so much and then they're like, nothing's getting done. They're trying to, hey, it's prison. It's not, I don't want it to be a Four Seasons hotel for these people, but you know, the humanity part, like there's no reason to, they're already incarcerated. They're already, you know, they don't have their families and friends with them. I mean, it's still prison. Mm-hmm. There's no need to go beyond over and beyond, you know, there's no reason to torture them or, you know, abuse. I don't like that. I mean, even the worst criminal, I'm like, yeah, they shouldn't be able to see the light of day or whatever, but there's no reason to, I don't know, just to keep, you know, to treat them so poorly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, they've been you know, sent to prison, and yeah, I don't think they should be treated, with having recliners and leather sofas in their cells. And
right.
But I'm saying, and you know,
used and abused and,
No, I mean, there's no point in that. I mean, you know, that I don't like that part. Yeah, I don't. Even like I said, the most vile serial killer or rapist, it's like, you know, I mean, just do your job and, you know, I don't know. I think a lot of these prisons, they at least the ones that we've talked about, they just couldn't do their job. They wanted to make them pay more than what they were already told by the judge to pay, mm-hmm. the term of their imprisonment. So, yeah, it's rough. I mean,
well, I think it's interesting how, like this, if you see the pictures, which are they're incredible, it's just it's frozen in time. I mean, mm-hmm. there is such a creepiness to it. It's beautiful. It sits right off of the Missouri River, and it is, you know, by all accounts, abandoned. They say when the prison was fully completed, it was surrounded by high limestone walls with 15 officer towers, and it was nicknamed the Walls. Before long, 2,000 men were incarcerated at the penitentiary, which would be the average number of inmates for many years. The prison admitted its first female inmate in 1842.
Oh, gosh.
Isn't that wild?
Way before the Civil War.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. 1842. Okay. Yeah, it's an old place.
And this was one, they say the penitentiary operated as a lease program where businessmen could hire inmates to work for them. So several buildings in Jefferson City, including the First Capitol, the Governor's Mansion, and several area homes were built using prison labor.
Oh,
okay. So that's like that whole, the chain gang kind of.
Yeah, right. Right. What you got there, Nate? I can see you.
Oh, I'm trying to find specific haunts.
Oh, gotcha.
Haven't really found anything in detail other than there's a lot of them.
Yeah. Excuse me.
The prison was used to house Civil War criminals, too, post-Civil War criminals in 1968. So I thought that was interesting, too. It's just, it goes through so many different eras that it's just, it's, that's why there's so much different energy, and it all merges together, and a lot of it becomes pretty dark. But it's just interesting to think that Civil War criminals, but then it went all the way up to 2004 with inmates. So mm-hmm. that, to me, that's wild how much time it spans.
So I've got an investigator here that made some notes on a website regarding the penitentiary. Her name is Christina. See, there's a team. Christina Anderson, Becky Ray, Jennifer Sprague, and Miranda Stark. excuse me. Christina Anderson, she says that she was very thankful to have gotten the opportunity to investigate this location. It is truly an incredible place. She says, and if you have an opportunity to check it out on one of the history tours, she highly recommends it. This prison is an overwhelming place. I was able to take a few pictures inside of one of the housing units when my camera began to malfunction, and I decided to focus on audio instead of fighting it all night. We started out in housing unit 4, which was the oldest one on the premises. We then moved into the women's unit, where I kept seeing something out of the corner of my eye. Jennifer also mentioned that she thought she saw a shadow move in the direction of the blind cells. None of the group was in that part of the unit at the time. It says our next building was the one that housed death row. While standing in front of cell 27, I heard a very loud sigh or exhaling sound. It seemed like it was right next to me. Although nobody else in the group heard it, it is audible on their audio that she caught. She says she's not 100% convinced that it was paranormal, but she says she'll post it in the EVP section on the site. But it's worth, you know, checking out, listening to. She says, then they went to the gas chamber, and the walk is very long, and there were a lot of places we stopped on the way down. As we were standing by the textile mill, the chain link fence above us rattled loudly as though someone was trying to climb it. There were no people nearby. To be fair, they said we spotted feral cats on the ground shortly before, and it could very well have been one of them, but nothing was visible that could have caused that noise. So I've got a few more stories, but if you guys have something, but that's pretty creepy.
I had one that is very creepy. I had one that they were doing an investigation in one of the rooms, and they were sitting on one of the beds, and the bed had like a metal frame on the back end, and they were trying to get it to, you know, talk this spirit to talk to them. They had gotten some EVP type stuff, and they were trying to get it to work with some object they had in the middle of the room. And the guy that was sitting on one of the beds there, the bed broke as they were saying, can you make such and such move or talk to us through whatever item? And the bed broke, and he was like, oh my gosh. And they were like, did you lean against that? And they're like, no, the bed just broke while he was sitting on it. So, I mean, it's possible.
Some people could say, yeah, it just broke. I mean, it was about to
but
do
it was
it,
just but... really weird as they were saying that, you know, and those kind of things. When I watch those things, it's like, did that really happen in the moment? Was it some staged? But so I'm always a little skeptical, but it was kind of creepy. It was like, oh my gosh, is that?
Maybe, oh yeah, absolutely.
You know? So you just never know. It's unexplainable things that do make you think like, well, maybe somebody was trying to talk to him on the other side, right? It says, after the prison closed, it fell into disrepair before it reopened as a tourist attraction, offering history and paranormal tours. Sometimes these tours are led by former inmates and guards. It is one of only 3 maximum security prisons that can be toured today. The others are Eastern State Penitentiary in Philadelphia, which we know about, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Alcatraz in San Francisco, California is the other one, of course. And this is nearly 100 years older than Alcatraz. It comes to no surprise that old structures are said to be the home of several resident ghosts, and numerous paranormal events have been reported throughout the years. Tales of ghostly visitors began long before the prison closed, with both prisoners and guards reporting having seen apparitions. A Hall, the prison's oldest building, is said to be a hotspot for unearthly activity. Inside the massive stone building are 4 tiers of cells with catwalks that crisscross its width. The doors of the cells are less than 5 feet high, which force prisoners to stoop down and take a subordinate posture when leaving their cells.
Early on, that was pretty common too. Mm-hmm. Early on, inmates were not allowed to look guards in the eyes, an infraction that could result in punishment at the whipping post or solitary confinement. Within it, this building is a basement of dungeons referred to as the hole, where, here were kept death row inmates, violent and disruptive prisoners, and those suffering from mental problems. Some of them got it from being down in there, by the way.
I would imagine.
The only light in these cells came through a small slit in the door.
Man. Mm. Yeah, that's pretty rough.
It is.
Needless to say, right?
Oh, this is the guy. Oh, I'm sorry. This is the guy I was mentioned before. This guy named Firebug Johnson. Let's see, what was his name? I'm sorry.
Firebug?
One inmate, John B. Firebug Johnson, was housed in the dungeon for 17 years. So the guy that I was talking about, I was trying to think about what his name was.
That is crazy.
17 years between February 26, 1883 to July 1st, 1990. God. Or I'm not 1990, 1900, excuse me. Prior to his placement in the dungeon, he had attempted to escape several times and had started several fires. That's why they call it Firebug, right? He was moved to the basement after setting a fire that destroyed more than $500,000 worth of property. Ooh. And deaths of several inmates. Amazingly, he didn't go mad upon his release. He wrote a book called Buried Alive for 18 Years in the Missouri State Penitentiary. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. That's 17. Can you imagine?
No,
I can't. One little.
I thought he had, and they talked about other people going crazy. I thought he was one that had gone crazy while he was down there, but apparently he did not.
Being in prison for 17 years.
I don't know how that's possible. There were other people they were talking about that it just drove him completely insane.
Yeah, I don't know how it could not.
Yeah.
With me, and I'm halfway there. So this investigative team, they said that they worked their way to the gas chamber. Mm. Said they took turns sitting inside of it as well as sitting in both observation areas. She says it was a very sobering moment, taking in the gravity of what had taken place in there, knowing that over 40 people had been put to death inside that building. She says, as we walked back up to the main housing unit, a light in the building that nobody had access to was turned on. It had been dark when we walked down. And then they conducted some EVP sessions in the main housing unit. And at this time, this article, they're reviewing it. But that's pretty wild that, you know.
It is wild.
Nobody turned it on. It was dark. You know, it's like, yeah.
Well, creepy. I'm reading that an investigation team, they spent most of their time in the basement where we spent, or the troublesome prisoners often were kept there. If an inmate was unruly, suffering from a mental disorder, or generally unstable, they would pump them full of thorazine and brought to the basement cells. These specific inmates were referred to as the bobbleheads, as they would bob back and forth, so drugged that they could do little else. Many of the inmates were packed 4 to 5 men to a cell, living out their days in filth and neglect. One of the strangest experiences our group noticed was the overwhelming smell of body odor.
Ooh.
Which was still lingering in the air after years and years of being absorbed into the stone walls.
Mm, that's wild.
Creepy and gross. Yeah, imagine how much stuff is it absorbed in those walls.
Those limestone walls.
Well, you know, like I said, stone
energetically
tape, you know?
And body odor, apparently. B.O.
Yeah.
It says, in this building, paranormal reports have included the feeling of often being touched by ghostly hands, an overwhelming smell of body odor, like you said, an apparition of a man spied on the catwalk, and movements in the darkness. Equipment often malfunctions here. Disembodied voices have been captured on recorders, and some have felt an invisible force breathing down their necks. Cell number 48 once housed a prisoner who was known to be a snitch. He was bludgeoned to death with a sledgehammer during the prison riot of 1854. Here people have reported having strange, heavy feelings, and an unearthly human figure has been caught on camera. There's an entity. Did you guys see Fast Jack?
Yes.
Did you see?
I saw the name. Mm-hmm. I didn't. Yeah.
The entity Fast Jack is said to have been spied several places in the prison. So near the control room and in some of the housing units,
is said to lurk an entity known as Fast Jack, usually spied wearing a white lab coat and carrying a clipboard. He is thought to have been a trustee who worked in the medical facilities. At one point, a tour guide passed through the control center to secure the outer doors, only to return just a few minutes later to find all the doors had been opened. This antic was attributed to Fast Jack. Other reports him having been seen in hallways, moving through walls, or appearing for short moments before vanishing.
Fast Jack.
Fast Jack.
Is that like Jumpin' Jack Flash?
And right. Fast Jack. fast.
Yeah, I want to check out this place.
Some of these investigators said in some of the cells, it felt like their feet had lead weights in them and their backpacks would get really heavy and like there's a shift in the gravity.
Oh yeah, I can imagine.
Then varying degrees of anxiety and dizziness. So yeah.
Just felt disoriented. That's what I heard a lot of that.
It's kind of like when we went to Bobby Mackey's.
Oh yeah.
And they said it was the pool table, right?
Yeah.
And you start kind of get headaches or it kind of
disoriented or yeah, feeling pressure on your head. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you walk away, it's like, oh, you know, there's something to it. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I think there's got to be something to it when many people experience that.
Have those experiences, mm-hmm. right, yeah. And this is, I mean, there's a lot of ground to cover here. It said, in the female wing, a female ghostly figure is often seen dressed in vintage clothing. Others have seen a man in outdated prison uniform, in a outdated prison uniform, leaning against a fence. Strangely, some have seen or heard the ghosts of children, and others even a dog. Didn't we hear that at Waverly too? That there was supposed to be like a dog that you could hear barking throughout the facility. We never did. We heard a dog that
don't
was
remember.
A neighborhood dog. Is what we're like. Is that a dog?
Actual dog. I don't remember the.
But somebody had mentioned that.
Okay.
Throughout the old facilities, people have heard cell doors slamming, ghostly footprints, loud banging, shadow figures, the smell of cigarette smoke, objects being mysteriously moved around, and fast-moving entities. They also report having felt dread, a sense of sorrow, and feeling like they're being watched. Today, the Gothic-style Missouri State Penitentiary ranks as one of the most incredible haunted prisons in the country, along with the other aforementioned, the Eastern State Penitentiary, the Ohio State Reformatory, mm-hmm. West Virginia Penitentiary, Alcatraz, right. All those. So it says a lot of this, it's visited by a lot of paranormal mm-hmm. groups and investigators, just like we've been
set up for 100. Yeah, investigative this, groups have
it's
been
wild,
there.
Isn't it?
Continuing this group's investigation. They're standing, one of them was standing in the doorway of the cell that they're investigating and turned abruptly at the sound of something rushing down the catwalk towards him. Mm. However, it was moving quickly and with enough of a racket to get our attention. The invisible force entered the cell at an exceptionally fast rate and collided with the inside of my left leg, knocking me back a few paces before dissipating completely. The experience was over before we'd even realized what had happened.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's
that'd be an experience.
No kidding. Yeah. So the death penalty at this place is interesting. It says the death penalty was first used in Missouri in 1810 when Peter Johnson was hanged for murder. Missouri carried out a total of 285 executions from 1810 to 1965. Says at the penitentiary, death row inmates. I'm sorry, let me go back real quick. It said hanging was a primary method of execution until 1936, when lethal gas came into use from 37 until 1987. Starting in 87, lethal injection was added as an option for inmates in addition to the lethal gas. Then it says death row inmates were originally executed by hanging. That evolved to lethal gas, okay, and then the injection. It says inmates in the death row area who were executed at this penitentiary can be seen still to this day. Creepy.
It really is creepy. And like you said, this is one that we definitely would want to go see. It's amazing how many, it said, like all these different groups have talked about, they've caught full-bodied apparitions, mm-hmm. voices, screams. Cold feelings and these like masses that they catch on film, shadow figures. It's the screams would be the worst if you heard somebody, you know, And again, you always wonder, where is that coming from? But if you're the only one in the facility or there's just paranormal groups, you don't, and you hear somebody screaming, it just, that would be so unnerving, especially if you're in the solitary confinement or in the basement, you know, dungeon, hole area, whatever.
I don't think, I mean, we haven't been to a ton of places, but we have the four, let's see, Bobby Mackey's, Waverly, Indiana State Sanatorium, and Whispers Estate. Those are four of the, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of popular, or I mean, four of the most popular places. Have we heard any, like screams or anything? Like, you know, if, I can't remember if we've heard any.
We've
that
heard
would
sighs
be
and we've heard
sighs
and
footsteps
I haven't heard any grunts.
That would be really freaky though. Mm-hmm. And if we're, and yeah. especially for like, okay, there's not really anybody else in here. That would be terrifying. You know,
yeah,
because it'd just be, you know, I mean, like, gosh, when, you know, as a dad, when my kids would hurt themselves and they'd scream, it's a horrible, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, what, you know, what happened, you know, and just to be like in a prison or some asylum, and hear a scream and you're like, that shouldn't happen.
Or even hear a cell slam.
That would be weird. You know, I mean, to see something and that's one thing, but man, to also hear a scream or some type of demonic voice, a little intimidating.
This is not a place I would want to spend.
But I want to hear it.
I would not want to do this by myself. I could see, I'm sure Aaron would, but that to me would be
I don't think I would either. I'm pretty brave, but yet, I got to have somebody with me. You know, I don't think this is a place that's very, I think it's dark. It's so dark. I think it's not a good positive place.
Right.
You know, I mean, no prison is, but I think this place in particular, it's like, it's got a lot of stuff, man. A lot of bad, bad history. And that means a lot of bad, bad creepiness.
Oh, I agree.
But yes, I would love to go, but not by myself. No.
I've heard of this place. I've heard a lot of the penitentiaries, but I did not know the vast history.
Uh-huh.
And I had no idea of the brutality there. So it was very interesting to hear a lot of the stuff and these mm-hmm. stories. Just in general, but it's sad. It really is. And it's, I don't know, just terrifying. It's some of the hospitals and these places that we've talked about, you know, when we talk about the prisons, it's just, there's a whole level, another level of sadness, you know, and just, mm-hmm. it tears, to see the human condition. There's all kind of different levels, but this is one of the worst where, you know, I know these people have done, they're criminals and they've done horrible things. But then they're also having horrible things done to them in this process. And it's very sad.
Yeah. It's,
there's a lot of mental disorder type stuff going on there too in the criminal world. So obviously.
Have you guys heard of Nick Groff? He's a famous, mm-hmm. yeah, the investigator. He went there and investigated the Missouri State Penitentiary. And, he had said, he's got a nice article on this website. It's called, I think it's theweekendweird.com. But he was really talking about the dungeon or the hole, you know, the solitary confinement.
Mm-hmm.
And I just liked how he wrote. He says, imagine, if you will, roughly 10 solid stone underground cells cut off from daylight and any source of fresh air. And you're sort of getting the idea. The hole was a medieval torture style dungeon where the worst or most disliked prisoners were dumped and forgotten about. Now, see, I think that's interesting because he said that maybe the worst or just disliked, you know, it doesn't mean they
yeah.
were, you know, he said oftentimes they were crammed into cells packed 15 people tight only to lose their minds in the darkness and eventually die. He says to say it's bleak is an absolute understatement. He said these cells are teeming with the memories of madness, illness, and fear. Though initially I had hoped to get the chance to explore it alone after spending a few hours amongst the Nick Groff tour guest who continued to experience everything from the touch of phantom fingers to mysterious nausea, I changed my mind pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I'd say so. Phantom fingers. Yeah, and there's that nausea again, you know.
Yeah, right. You just know something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah.
Get in there and twist your guts.
Yeah, I'm really fascinated by this place, and That would be a great place to visit. That would be a great place to visit.
I think in talking about that nausea, it is, you've talked about too, Nate, we've all mentioned it, that the body is the best tool that you have, the best instrument, mm-hmm. To know that something's not quite right. Sometimes we give ourselves the heebie-jeebies, but it is definitely something that we should listen to, you know, when we hear or feel or sense something that's not right.
Yeah. I had, and I lost it. I had a, you know, like sometimes we'll give like what people say, like, you know, like every, you know, everyday normal people like us that visited. Like, it's a
you
tour.
Say normal?
Okay.
I was like, that's a stretch.
Okay. Normal is a bad term.
Everyday people.
Bad term. Yeah. But somebody, no, just a person that went there on a tour, and they gave it 5 stars and they said, absolutely a must visit.
That's awesome.
But I wanted to read a little bit more what they had said, why they, but I lost the article, mm-hmm. but I do remember them giving a 5-star, and it said, absolute must
That's
visit.
Cool. That's very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's always going to be people that, oh, well, it's overrated or it's da-da-da-da-da, but it got a lot of 5 stars.
I was going to say, I would love, just for the history aspect and just to be there in such a beautiful, amazing, you know, historic building,
he's
would
got
be
the
cool.
Buildings are cool.
But it would just be really neat. I mean, just then when you add the layer of paranormal and ghosts and just the horrendous things that happen there, it's so interesting. You know, it really is.
So we've been to two sanatoriums, mm-hmm. a bar, a honky tonk,
Bloody Bucket,
and a house, a normal mm-hmm. residential house. So we haven't been to a prison.
We have not, and I think that's where we're.
And Aaron
we're
says
we're going to have some interesting things happen. I think.
Yeah, and she,
or possibly anyway.
She doesn't. She goes, but she isn't a big fan of.
No, she knows. She
and I am. I want to go.
Well, that's where she's had some of the biggest mm-hmm. Incidences where or Dillinger occurrences. Was, and yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, up in her area,
Crown Point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Crown Point. And I actually listened to a podcast I just subscribed to, and they're local boys. I think they're Northern Indiana, or they might be Ohio. Anyway, they do a lot of. No, I think they're Indian. They do a lot of investigations locally, like in Indiana, but then I think they've been to Gettysburg and a few, you know, 2 or 3 states away. But they went to Crown Point, and they said it is insane.
Mm-hmm.
They said it's exactly what it's been said to be. It's, yeah, pretty intense.
We
so,
gotta go.
And so I thought of Aaron, like, yeah, she said it.
That's
she,
on the list too, right?
Yeah, they said they go together. It's two. And they also, but they had like a, this guy that's he's pretty big built, you know, strong, mm-hmm. tough guy, you know, big muscles. And he, I guess, screamed
like a girl.
Yeah, screamed like, how you, hey, like a baby.
Everybody can scream like that, but
because they get they were really cool. The one's like 17, and the other one's like 19 or 20. So they're young guys.
I was gonna ask who the flashlight guy was.
Yeah, yeah, right. And they said that they weren't afraid to say like, hey, we get scared, we scream, we, you know, and then he said, well, we had this buddy that went with us, and he was like, you guys are getting, you know, way too scared and da da da. And then he goes, right when he said that, whatever happened at the prison mm-hmm. scared him. He goes, this guy's huge. Like nothing. I thought that was kind of funny. So he's like, everybody gets scared at that place. So I'd imagine this place too.
Yeah. They said at the penitentiary, it's so spooky that anyone visiting must sign a waiver of liability.
Oh
yeah.
I bet. They also go as far.
Excuse me.
Go as far as to caution anyone with asthma and heart conditions to consider their visit.
Oh. Well, I don't have a heart. No, okay. I don't have asthma, and I don't have a really a heart condition.
It's kind of like on a roller coaster. If you're pregnant or have a heart condition, please consult your physician. Like, yeah. Same thing with this prison.
Might want to rethink going to the Missouri State Penitentiary. Yeah. That's yeah. I don't know. I say let's do it. What are you doing next week?
Exactly. Oh, I would love to.
Sign me up.
Creepies, check it out. Any of our Missouri, because we have St. Louis is a big listenership.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish some creepies would email us or message us or whatever, post on our group to say, you know, if they've been there or not. Or
yeah.
If wanted to. Yeah. I think that'd be awesome to know. Like if they've had any experiences or if they just gone to see the tour. Yeah.
Isn't this part of our retirement plan? Isn't it to go do more investigations? Live shows, investigations.
Live
whatever.
Shows, investigations. Yeah. Right. And then we do live shows to talk about the investigation.
Exactly.
So, and that know, is, something like that.
And it never ends, right? You can never get rid of us.
We were talking about retirement just before we recorded.
Right.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. Like, and I looked at you guys someday. And I said, this podcast isn't your retirement because that's what I'm banking on.
We are making a lot of zeros.
Lots of zeros.
Lot of zeros.
Well, guys, I think I'm all out of Missouri State stuff. What about you guys?
I'm all.
You have anything? That's fine.
Masouried out.
Masouried.
I think we hit the hot topics.
Well, that was fun, and I know the creepies should enjoy this talk. And like I said, our St. Louis listeners, I mean, I'd love to know if any of them have been there. Just even, like I said, maybe they didn't have any paranormal experience or anything, but just what's it like to be there,
you right?
Know? Mm-hmm.
And I love these places because they have that Gothic style. They're huge. They're beautiful. But they are intimidating, too, and they make them like that.
Looming.
It's like they have a life of their own.
Yeah, right. It's like they're, you're right. They can watch you. The building itself is watching you.
It's alive.
It's alive. It's going. Oh, that's like the movie.
The Watcher.
What was that cartoon? The House Haunt? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it has.
It's the kid lives across the street from it. Why? See this middle-aged stuff. I never.
Oh,
never,
you forget stuff.
Tom Hanks's son is in it. I think he voices the kid.
It's
I'm not sure. I know what you guys are talking about.
I want to say Big Mama's house.
That's Martin Lawrence.
That is Martin Lawrence, and it's not a cartoon. Anyway, well, thanks guys for those contributions on the Missouri State Penitentiary.
No problem. It was fun. So I knew it was going to be a good one.
So, Sean, I'm going to turn it over to you. What do you have for us?
Well, you know, as I normally do, I've changed my ideas. Actually, I've changed about
17 times.
Three different times this time.
Only three?
Instead of just once or twice. But I actually heard a song that I thought was really good for just in general this week, this period in our lives. It's kind of both a middle-aged moment and middle-aged dark side at the same time.
Oh,
it's
kind of one of those. It sounds like mix. A middle-aged moment.
It's a mix, I would say. And I'll kind of explain that.
Dark moment?
It's a dark light moment.
It's a light.
After I go through it, you'll understand. Okay. Because I was having a hard time classifying it. But it's a song by Shinedown. So that kind of like, it's got to be a dark side. But no, it's called Daylight.
Hmm.
And it's actually an excellent song, and you'll love the words here. But it's got a dark underbelly to it.
Okay.
I was diagnosed with a fear of getting too close. Had to tell the ones I love I was on the ropes. I'm not the only one whose life's been pulled apart. Spending 1 year and 3 months in the dark. So here we are, all dressed to kill. Where should we go? Into the wild again to face the great unknown and have the midnight conversations you and I postponed. You saved my life, not once, but twice. You keep me from falling. You save my life, make it all right. When I don't feel like talking, you make sure I always see the daylight. It's amazing what the hard times can reveal. Like who shows up, who walks away, and who's for real. So take me on, I'll take the wheel, and we can both outrun the past. We will always live forever if we don't look back. You saved my life, not once, but twice. You keep me from falling. You saved my life, make it all right. When I don't feel like talking, you make sure I always see the daylight. It's amazing what the hard times can reveal, that you're not alone. Like who shows up, who walks away, and who's for real. Have faith that you're not on your own. It's amazing what the hard times can reveal. Look who shows up, who walks away, and who's for real. Who shows up, who walks away, and who's for real. And it says, have faith, you're not alone. You saved my life, not once but twice. You kept me from falling. You saved my life. Make it all right. When I don't feel like talking, you make sure I always see the daylight. So I like that because when I listen to it, I'm like, man, I've never heard it before. Because I believe it's a fairly new Shinedown that or I just have totally missed it. But it is it's a really good song. If you haven't listened to it, go listen to it.
But I always like their lyrics.
I love Shinedown. But this was really good. And it hit to me, it was very much about just feeling, you know, actually made me think of you guys at this podcast, like when it said you saved my life, not once, but twice, but more than that, you know, like this, you feel like when you feel like there's no hope or you can't go on kind of feeling. And I know we all feel that way sometimes in some days. And that when you just keep moving forward and keep moving on, it feels like, you know, eventually you start understanding why you went through what you went through. And we talk about this a lot, but it's songs like these that make it come full circle. And you feel like, yes, you know, there's still purpose. There's still reason to move on. You didn't have a Tuesday Terror this week. And I was at first, it was like,
I did not.
Yeah. But you had a video that was like, this is what's going on in my life. I know we all got stuff going on. And I actually enjoyed that video just as much. And like I said, this brought me, it made me feel like we all go through tough times, and I've had tough weeks, tough things going on, trying to make decisions on what's best for your kids, your wife, your job, your
life. A deer
hit
checks your car.
Yeah. I wasn't going to mention that, but those kind of things. And then you, you realize you're not alone. So that made me feel good. Like that's, I mean, my best answer to your video and what I responded was, love you, brother. Yeah. Cause it did. It made me think, you know, and I think I reached out and said, hey, you need anything? But you do the same thing to me. When you know I'm hurting or if I'm sick or something's going on in my family, you're always the first, both of you, reach out. You need anything?
Mm-hmm.
You need an ear? You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
it means the world to me. And that's like, that's what this song really, made me, like I said, change my mind at least a couple times to really, to reach out there and let people know that there is daylight. And I love that. I love the idea behind the song, and I love the name of it too. So lightish, dark side-ish. I like it.
I think the worst thing that somebody can think is that they are alone, and they can feel that way. And a lot of people do, but they're not. Mm. They just have to, they have to reach out to find that they're not.
That is what your focus is at that moment.
Absolutely.
It's hard to not.
You got
to
break through that wall.
Yep.
My Ella asked me within this last week or so, and it was during this holiday. She said, "Dad, what's your biggest fear?" And I really, you know, I didn't want to be flippant and say, "Oh, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm your dad," you know. And you know, that would be a very basic answer. And I told her, I said, "Well, it's not snakes. It's not rats. It's not creepy crawlies. It's not monsters. It's not even death. I really don't fear that. I'm not ready for it. I don't want to. I'm not running towards that, but I don't fear those things." I said, "I don't really fear people per se. I don't like to see people mistreating each other." But I told her, I said, the main thing that I explained to her was that I was most fearful of losing her, or, you know, any of her brother, her sister and her brothers or mom. But I told her, I said, "I think the biggest fear that I have is the lack of hope," or that there's, to me, it's like, imagine yourself on the battlefield and there's nobody coming. There's nobody in reserve on the way. There's no hero on the horizon. Yeah, there's nobody, agree. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you feel like all is lost. That is the biggest fear I have, that, and that, so that's why I try to remember, like, I'm part of that hope system. We all are. We got breath in our lungs. We are part of the purpose here to keep perpetuating hope and having life and making things better. Do we do perfect all the time? Heck no. But yeah, when I really, and I told Jenna that too, I said, you know, our 9-year-old got me thinking, you know, I really hadn't thought about that question that deeply for at least for a while. And Jenna said, she's like, "I don't even know if I knew what your biggest fear was." And she said, "That's a good answer." And I told her, I said, "Yeah, but it's about as true as I can get. It's like, there's no hope on the horizon. There's nobody coming to save the day. There's no heroes out there." You know what I mean? That is probably the biggest, like, ugh, you know, feeling. But like I said, I don't truly believe that. I believe that there's always hope. Where there's life, there's hope. And anybody out there that feels that nobody's coming, there's no hope on the way, there's no heroes out there or heroines, there are. They really are. We're all here together. You know, we truly are. So
yeah, they just don't make the headlines like the
they do not
the villains,
right?
You know, the bad sells the you know, I'll say it in an old timer's way. They sell the newspapers, right? That's why my dad always said,
"Yeah,
bad news sells the newspapers." Yeah. That's what he used to always say. He's like, you know, nobody. Nobody, you know, really wants to read the good, you know, because it's not, it's boring.
You're always looking for the nasty stuff.
Yeah, that's what sells the headlines, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, no, that's good, Sean. I agree. I think that's good. That's cool that Ella asked you that.
Isn't it? Yeah.
As a kid, you always wonder, what's my mom and dad scared of? What are they scared of? What frightens them?
She's always been afraid of the dark, and I'm like, ooh, the dark is your friend, you know? I used to be afraid of the dark, too, when I was a kid, so yeah. I understand that. But
I'm afraid of vigorous hedgehogs.
Vigorous horny hedgehogs.
Yeah. Frightening.
In the dark that you can't see where they're at.
How nasty.
That's outrageous, Nate.
That is.
One thing I've noticed is, like, when you're feeling in the dumps and that kind of stuff, it's hard because of that mindset that you're in, but think about being supportive and being there for someone else. And it always makes me feel better. You know, going, pushing through my problems to try to help someone else's problem.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yep.
That's sort of free medicine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's being a light in a sometimes dark world. And that's how I,
medicine right now is difficult. I could talk on for hours on how some of the difficulties, but I still go back to, I was just talking to somebody today about it. It's a quality of life issue. Mm-hmm. Like, how can you bring as much quality of life to this person as possible? And I go to the basic level of trying to get somebody to smile.
Yeah.
Just once through the, you know, laugh through once through the session. If you can, if it's appropriate, if they feel like it.
The basic thing, coming back to basics with humans, is we are a social animal. So don't think that you're alone. You need to converse and be with others. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're
God did not make us to be loners.
Yeah. Really, I mean, if you're by yourself, then yeah, you're going to be depressed.
Yeah.
You are going to fall in a deep, dark hole.
You need to be with people. And it doesn't mean you have to be super social and you have to be that extrovert. You have to, though.
As an introvert, I know.
Reach out.
And more so than an extrovert a lot of times. Involve
make connections. A little
bit. Yeah, you still have. Yep, I agree.
Like I said, I mean, your torment, helping someone else with theirs, it helps bring you out of your torment.
Yeah.
If you feel like you're doing something. You feel like you're helping someone else. You feel like, you're being positive for once.
Hence, that's why I did my video last night, because I didn't have time to do the Tuesday Terror. So that was like, it wasn't like I'm not doing it. No, I was like, I didn't have time.
I thought it was cool.
I actually printed it out, and the printer at work cut off part of the word. So I'm like, so I was just like, this isn't meant to be.
Yeah.
You know, so I just moved on my day and my night and my night. Yeah.
You did exactly. I thought it was handled very well.
You know, you said, hey, hit a deer or whatever. And then I said, okay. Well, I told Amy, I said, hey, I'm going to go. As I keep hitting that, I'm gonna go to work. That's fine too. I was like, well, I'll go to my, do my jobs.
What did the music stand ever do to you?
I know
you've
I
been
know.
Hitting.
I
all
hate
night
that
long.
Music stand. I went to work and I'm like, you know what? I can still do some video, and it helped me get out of my little. You know, I mean, or at least, or you know, what I'm saying, it doesn't like fix it, but I was just like, yeah, you can do. I'm glad you said that, Nate. You can do something for somebody else. To help in it, and it might help you.
It was Todd's Tuesday therapy terror session, whatever. that's a little bit.
I got to change the post.
Right? Yeah. Right.
I got to change
Todd's
the description.
Tuesday therapy. No, that needs to be in some different order.
That's why I did it. I thought
Tuesday therapy.
And all Tuesday therapy.
Good job.
Tuesday
therapy.
No,
therapy.
No. We'll come up with something.
Mike Tyson's going to think I'm making fun. I'm not. Please, listeners, know that you can reach out to us on our Facebook group, Instagram, whatever.
We've had that more.
Because I know a lot of people are like, well, I don't have any friends, or I don't have anybody. My family's, I'm not close to them. I don't have, there. You listen to us, and we are your friends. Even if we don't know you, you can reach out. You can email us. You can message. You know, you can post on the group if you're, you don't have to tell us what's wrong, but. And we've had a few times.
No person, no creepy left behind.
I like that.
See, we're back to the battlefield. I like it.
Life. We're going to put that on t-shirts.
I've heard love is a battlefield, but life is a battlefield, right?
Not that better. But
right?
Yeah, exactly. But seriously, please do not think you are alone. There is us as your podcast friends, and then your fellow listeners, your creepies. Mm-hmm. You can count on somebody for a good word, a positive vibe, they say send positive vibes, prayers, good, just encouraging words, whatever. You're not, you are not alone. So don't think that. And if I have to bully them, they're like, wait a minute.
Not
a
Michael Jackson song. You are not alone, right?
That, I'm not sure.
I am here with you. Anyway, yep, sorry.
No, man.
It's always got to go back to Michael Jackson.
Ah, okay, where do we go from here? Oh,
Where do we go now? All right, we go back.
Haven't we done that before?
We've been around the music block, right?
Yeah.
Second part of the announcements. We
earn them zeros.
Are going to earn them zeros. Me? No. You can follow us on any social media, pretty much. Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. We have groups to follow. We have all kind of fun on them. You get to see the Tuesday Terrors, right?
And that's how you can reach out if you...
That's right.
Yes,
and people, like I said, people are more and more.
And if you don't even want to reach out about your... Like, look, we have some... funny posts,
right?
I mean, we have creepies that post stuff that
that's right.
It'll put a smile on your face.
That's right. You can contact us with our email address. That is makopodcast@gmail.com.
two ways. Catch us on Tuesday Terror videos. You can sponsor those as well, $50. If you're interested, please email us at said email address previously mentioned. No. It can be a business. Or, I'm too lazy to say it again. It can be a business or individual, of course, to sponsor. We are on all podcast listening apps and platforms. Subscribe and please give us a 5-star rating and review. Tell someone you know. Word of mouth is everything. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We sell merch with our logo on it. I got to say it because I haven't said it in a minute. I probably said it last time. Go get you some.
You haven't said it in a while. Actually.
Have I not? No. Okay, go get you some. Oh, yeah. Again, email. ..
Okay.
We offer segment sponsorships on all our episodes for $50 per segment. Email us for more information on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The end. Fiend. Finale.
Before we turn over to our buddy Nate here, today as we are recording and as the episode will drop, it is the last day of November, correct? Right?
That's right. Tomorrow is December 1st.
Forced.
It's going to be officially the Christmas month, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
What else would you want to buy to spend your hard-earned money on than Mako merch? Mako swag, you know?
Mako bling.
Mako bling. Well, I'm not sure about that. We don't... What I mean, t-shirts, hoodies, backpacks, we got hats, Speedos. No, we don't have Speedos yet. Maybe by Christmas time. Break. I have been looking. Okay. Mako bathing suits for men and women. Like shorts, like swim trunks, not Speedos. we have what? What else do we have? We got all kinds of, I don't know, notebooks and pictures and
pillows.
But we have pillows,
shot glasses,
drinking mugs, all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Go get you some, as Sean said. Order you some, and 'tis the season to be Mako.
That's right.
Like, 'tis the season to be creepy. Oh, wait a minute. Something like that. Did I ruin it?
'Tis the season. No, you have not ruined it. Creepy. I do also want to mention, I don't know, did you guys know that Christine McVie died from Fleetwood Mac?
No.
Mm-hmm. I saw that today.
I just heard on the radio coming home, and I wanted to confirm it because I was like, did she die?
Yeah.
She died today.
Now, see, she got diagnosed with cancer like 25 years ago.
They were playing her songs and saying in memory of her, and I thought, is she dead? As of today. Yeah. So November 30th.
Hey, way to bring down the show, Sean. Here Christmas.
Shout out to her.
Hit the brakes.
I love Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, really.
So I was like, oh. Yeah, I did. Pump the brakes.
I love Fleetwood Mac. And
God bless her soul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hold Me, that song. Remember? Mm-hmm. Hold Me. Oh, man. I had a crush on her when I was like 12.
I love
the video. Well, shoot. Does it say how old she was?
Chains Keep Us Together.
What was it? 74? Something like that. 79?
Yeah, she got diagnosed a few decades ago with cancer.
I will give you a 79. Yep.
79. Oh, 79. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I mean, that, you know.
Oh, she looks good for 70. Well, I don't know if that was a recent picture or not, but.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, shoot. That is sad.
She still looks. I think she looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There's your crush.
Old, yeah. Well, let's turn it over to Nate before Sean brings the show down anymore. Let's go. Nate, what do you got?
I'm going to say something. Let you ponder. Monster House.
Oh, that's it. Monster House.
I knew you were looking it up.
That's a rat.
That's a rat. not Big Mama's. I knew that wasn't it, but I could not.
Branson.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Bronson. What?
Monster Charles Bronson.
Yeah. That's way off.
Well, thank you, Nate, for that. Monster House. Okay. And I just want to hear the creepies going, it's Monster House or it's Branson, you fools. We want to thank our creepies for listening to episode number 90 and our discussion on the Missouri State Penitentiary. And until next time, Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged
and creeped out. Keep it creepy.